Woo! This fall, we've been reflecting on what it means to run the race. From Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore, now that we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." 2 weeks ago, we looked at the race of Abraham and Sarah, ones who doubted their call, having waited for years. Then the Almighty God swoops in and doubles down on a promise made long ago, renames them Abraham and Sarah, recommitting to the purpose that God has called them to. Last week, it was Abraham's great-grandson, Joseph, one who had met enormous challenges in his life and yet with resilience continued to run the race. As Joseph welcomed the rest of his family into Egypt to escape the famine, the Hebrew people grew, multiplied, prospered in that land until they began to outnumber the Egyptians, so much so that Pharaoh felt that his power was threatened. And so he began to enslave the Hebrew people. He began to oppress them. And even when their numbers continued to grow, he tried to wipe out an entire generation of Hebrew people. And you know the story. It was the boy, Moses, who was dropped into a basket in the river, saved and ironically raised in the Pharaoh's house, becoming part Hebrew, part Egyptian, part schizophrenic perhaps. We don't know. And yet as he grew into a young man, he saw one of his kinsmen being beaten by an Egyptian. He intervened, ended up killing that Egyptian, and wanting to escape the punishment for his crime, he fled to yet another land, to the land of the Midians. And there he married, set up shop with his father-in-law, began to tend the flocks. And the story could easily have ended there, with life happily ever after, until God shows up again. God's always showing up at such inopportune times, messing up the plans that we have. This time God shows up in grand style, in a bush that is burning but is not burned up. And that's where we pick up the story today from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. Listen to God's word for us. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked and the bush was blazing, but it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." Then God said, "Come no closer, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you were standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I've also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God said, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' who shall I say sent me to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. And let all God's people say,
amen.
Amen. To be fair, there are Saturday nights in the life of the preacher when one is found late finishing a sermon. There are Saturday nights when the life of the preacher, the sermon might still be in preparation because during the week there have been distractions, there have been unforeseen circumstances, or maybe there's just been a bit of laziness. But then there are times, the life of the preacher on a late Saturday night, that the sermon is rewritten because of something that has just happened. Last night was one of those nights. Having been here last night and heard the children sing, and not just sing but tell their story of the amazing work that is done at the Watoto community and church in Uganda, I realized that for me there was a new take on the story of Moses, a story, to be fair, that we had chosen months ago to be a part of the series, but a new way of understanding who Moses is and where Moses was called. And it comes from the very song that the children just sang. I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. I am no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. Try that with me. I am no longer
slave to fear.
I am I am no longer
slave to fear.
I am
a child of God.
I got to be honest, I feel sorry for Moses on that day. I can only imagine what he began to think as he encountered that burning bush. God speaks to him from out of the bush. Moses, Moses, and his first response, as ours would be, was, here I am. And then God says, I have heard the cry of your people. I am aware of their sufferings. And I am going to bring them up out of oppression and bring them to a land of freedom, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of liberation. And I bet Moses was thinking to himself, well, thank God. Thank God, finally, you're paying attention. You finally heard their cries, and you're going to go over there and do something for those people suffering in that place from those conditions. And it's about time. Better late than never, but good for you, God. Well done. Except God doesn't stop speaking there. Then God says, come closer. I love that part. Come closer, make sure you hear this. I am sending you. I am sending you to Pharaoh. And if the Bible had been translated into 21st century English, I think Moses' response would be, wait, what? No, 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 no. Great that you've heard their cries and that you're going to do something about those people over there and their problems. But you got the wrong guy. I can imagine at least two different responses that Moses might have had that day. In part, Moses probably thought, look, I was born a Hebrew but raised an Egyptian, and now I'm living in the land of the Midianites. I don't really belong anywhere. I don't even belong anywhere, yet alone could I lead a people from anywhere. And not only that, I've got this record that you might not know about. I'm a convict on the run. Surely you don't want me. You don't understand my past. You don't understand who I've been. Do you know who I am? Then again, there may have been another part of Moses that could have argued, look, I've finally gotten my act together. My life is actually going well right now. I've got a good job. I'm married. I've got some kids. I'm working for my father-in-law. Things have settled down for me. Everything's going great. I'm on a good path here. Don't bother me. I've got it all figured out. I'm fine. In either case, either worried about his past or convinced of his own plan for his future, Moses is sure that he's not the right guy. And in fairness to Moses, note that God isn't asking him just to write a bigger check to the charity or church of his choice. God isn't asking him to simply reconcile a dysfunction within his family. God isn't asking him to make some decisions at work to share the good news of Jesus Christ with a colleague, as worthy as any or all of those calls are or would be. No, God is launching him into the largest human rescue operation in the history of the world. An operation that God could have done himself or chosen anybody else to do. And God has come to Moses. "Who am I," Moses asks, "that you would ask me to do such a thing?" Do you notice how God answers? Does God answer by reading Moses, his resume? I mean Moses' resume. Does God answer by listing off all of the fine and noble attributes that Moses has that makes him uniquely and spectacularly qualified to answer this call? Does God say anything about Moses at all? No. God says, "I will go with you." In other words, Moses, you will no longer be a slave to fear. You are? You will no longer be? You are a child of God. I've always found it interesting that Moses takes off his shoes at God's invitation. For as God says, you are on holy ground. And we know that in many traditions, ancient and contemporary around the world, it is appropriate to take off one's shoes when entering holy ground. But there are other times and places too. In many of those same parts of the world, ancient and contemporary, one takes off one's shoes to enter a home as well. And yes, in part, that's an aspect of cleanliness from shoes that might be dirty or caked with mud. It's also a sign of respect, and it's a sign of hospitality and vulnerability. It's hard to carry false pretenses when you don't have shoes on. It's hard to keep up a facade about oneself when you're barefoot. Take off your shoes, Moses. Let your feet settle into the dust of the earth. Feel my creation under your feet again. Be vulnerable. Be humble. Be your true self, a child of God, my child. God doesn't rattle off Moses' resume for the job. God says, "I will be with you." And God says, "I have been the God of your past, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God that has been with you in your past. I know who you are and from where you have come. I know the challenges and the heartbreak that you have faced, and I've been with you every step of the way. And I will be the God of your future as well. In fact, I will cast out a little bit of that future for you. Not only do I invite you into this call, but I promise you that you will succeed in that call and you will come back to this mountain someday with a liberated people and worship me on this mountain. And in the meantime, I will be the God of today, the God who calls you, who knows you, who loves you, and will walk with you every step of this journey. I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God." I wonder if there are still burning bushes in our lives today. If the Spirit of God still speaks to us and calls us today. From out of our past, content or conflicted, right in the presence of who and where we are today, to where God is leading us next. And here's the trick. If the vision you have for who God has called you to be and where God is calling you is something that you could easily accomplish on your own without God, you may not be dreaming big enough. Let me say that again in case in case you had paused for a second to consider what you're having for brunch or whether the Broncos would beat the Raiders later today. If the vision you have for who God has called you to be and where God has called you to go is not impossible to accomplish on your own, as it was for Moses, then maybe you haven't captured the vision God has for you yet in its fullness. For indeed, God called us to leave behind the fear of our past, of our limitations, even the fear that we might have that we could spectacularly succeed and change and transform others with the power of Christ in us. I'm no longer a slave to fear, Moses says. And I will be sent back to Egypt, not as a slave or a slave owner. I will be sent back to Egypt as a liberator so that I might liberate others. For when we are able to answer the call of God in our lives, the pharaohs and rulers of the world, the brokenness, the distractions and disappointments of our lives that rule over us shall step aside. When we are able to claim our call as a child of God and walk in the path that God lays out before us, run that race with perseverance, the seas of doubt and fear and insecurity shall part, and we shall walk across on dry land. And living water shall break forth from rocks, and manna, food from heaven, will rain down upon us and nourish us in the wilderness moments of our lives. Because, to be clear, following that path is not simple or easy. It will be a difficult path, but it is the path that God calls us to be the hands and feet of Christ. Friends, let us claim with Moses today. Let us claim with the children of Wototo. Let us claim with sisters and brothers in Christ, in nations from east and west and north and south, that we will no longer be slaves to fear because we are children of God. Let us say together, I am no longer
slave to fear.
I am
a child of God.
Amen.